All right, we're dialing now. We've got just a couple of folks on already. Looks like we have some of you who joined us via our web chat. Thank you for those of you who already joined via our web simulcast. We are going to hold a live forum tonight. We appreciate you being on. I'll be turning it over in a moment here for Jennifer Vides to get us started once we have a good number of folks on. If you're joining via our web simulcast, remember that you can submit questions using that web chat. We'll be taking questions from there, from the phones, and from people who registered in advance. Thanks for joining, and now to get us started, I'll turn it over to Jennifer Vides.
Thank you, Ian. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Metro's live telephone town hall. My name is Jennifer Vides, and I am Metro's Chief Customer Experience Officer. I'll be hosting and moderating this event tonight. Thank you for joining us. This is a live public event, and it is being recorded. Our goal tonight is simple. We want to hear from you. We want to make it easy for you to ask questions of Metro leadership and make comments. All you do is press zero on your phone to get into the queue. First up tonight, we'll hear a brief opening remarks from the Metro Board's second vice chair, Fernando Dutra, followed by Metro's Finance, Budget, and Audit Committee chair, Metro Director Catherine Barger, and then remarks by Metro's CEO, Stephanie Wiggins. Second Vice Chair Dutra, welcome to the telephone town hall.
Great. Thank you very much, Jennifer. And can you hear me okay?
We can.
Great. Well, hello, everyone, and thank you very much for joining us. So Mayor Bass couldn't be here because she's in Washington, D.C., meeting a historic delegation with L.A. City Council members to meet with members of Congress on Capitol Hill. So this is my first time participating in a Metro telephone town hall. I'm very much looking forward to hearing from our callers and from our Metro leadership. I know we'll hear a lot of updates on a wide range of Metro projects and incentives tonight. For those of you who do not know me, I joined Metro in 2021. My background is that I'm both a public and private sectors. I'm a builder during the day. That's my vocation. I'm also a public servant, working in local government and currently serving as mayor pro tem for the city of Whittier. Just like you, I look at every issue from multiple perspectives. I'm an LA County resident, a voter, a business owner, an elected official, a husband, a father, and of three, of course, and also a Metro rider. As you call in tonight, if you could, with your questions and comments, if you could please give us a very brief background on yourself, where you live, how often you ride our Metro, and what are your concerns and priorities. There are many good news type stories that we can share with you about Metro. For example, ridership continues to rise. As an example, in September marked our 10th consecutive month of year-over-year ridership growth with more than 900,000 boardings each weekday. Metro's monthly bus and rail ridership is roughly at 80% of pre-pandemic levels. That's important. To deliver a safer system, we've implemented a comprehensive multi-layered strategy. Since April of this year, this multi-layered approach has led to an overall reduction of crime by more than 50%. That's good progress, but we will continue to do more to make the system as safe as it possibly can be. As we strive to make Metro Angelenos first choice for transportation, we realize cost is a significant factor for millions. We implemented our fare capping system to save our riders money. Also saving money on Metro are thousands of students in Los Angeles County. I'm proud to say that our GoPass program for students has seen 25 million boardings in its first 2 years. More than 1,500 schools have signed on to this program. It has been a remarkable success. The low fare Easy Life program offers 90-day free fares for new qualifying riders and 20 free rides per month. 270,000 riders are currently enrolled in this program, and we've had over 20 million life boardings to date. I'd love to hear your thoughts about these programs or anything else that's on your mind regarding Metro. And at this point, I'll just turn it over back to Jennifer, and Jennifer, you can take it from here. Thank you.
Thank you, Director Dutra. Joining us now is another Metro Board member, Finance, Budget, and Audit Committee Chair and Metro Director Catherine Barger. Welcome, Director Barger.
Thank you, Jennifer, and I am honored to join you this evening. In my role as Chair of the Metro Finance, Budget, and Audit Committee, and as a board member of Metro, I believe it is essential to connect with our communities and hear about their priorities and concerns. Our Metro system plays a foundational role in the mobility of our region. We also believe it is critical to play a role in providing access to opportunity and addressing economic disparities. That is why delivering an equitable transportation system has been a tenet of our agency and is reflected at every level of Metro's budget. But the challenges we and other transit agencies face in the coming months and years have been well documented and require bold and strong leadership. That is why your participation and input tonight is so important. These town halls allow Metro leadership to hear from and engage with the residents of Los Angeles County, and most importantly, our Metro customers. As one of the largest transit operators in the nation, we have the county's and the country's largest ongoing transit investment in our future. And we are looking forward to major events such as the 2028 Olympic and Paralympic Games. As we look ahead to these milestones, we already have work underway. This year, many new innovative projects and programs were launched. You'll hear about the progress of some of these projects and programs tonight from Metro's top experts in the areas of safety and security, cleanliness, operations, planning, and more. The reason we do these town halls is because we want to understand your priorities and needs regarding the Metro system. Your feedback is essential in Metro's budget decision and making that and the decisions we make to provide the best possible service to our county. So please ask questions, dialogue with us, and make your voices heard by participating in this event tonight and those in the future. Thank you again for taking the time to be here with us and for having me. And I say go Metro. Now back to you, Jennifer.
Thank you, Director Barger. Now joining us is Metro's Chief Executive Officer, Stephanie Wiggins. Welcome, Stephanie.
Thank you, Jennifer. I'm happy to be with all of you again tonight. These calls are important for us because we hear directly from the people we serve. That's why I've asked every department in Metro to be represented here on this call tonight. Your voice is a central part of our budgeting process. Last year, we invested and made improvements in safety and security, efforts to reduce the number of people experiencing homelessness, sheltering on our system, the frequency and reliability of our service, and the cleanliness of our system. And this year, we are growing our transit security force by 45%. We're investing more than $201 million in cleaning. We're growing our homeless outreach teams by 50% and running more trains and reducing wait times on our rail system, as well as installing more bus priority lanes to make our buses more reliable and dependable. And as we start to think about our budget for the next fiscal year, we want to make sure your voice is included. Ask a question or provide a recommendation on this telephone town hall tonight. Thank you all for being here, and I look forward to hearing your comments and suggestions. Back to you, Jennifer.
Thank you, Stephanie. Now that we've heard from Metro's second vice chair, budget, finance, and audit chair, and CEO, let me quickly introduce Ian Zervny, who will cover how to ask questions and make comments. Ian?
Thank you, Jennifer, and good evening to everyone. If you do have a question for our panel of Metro experts, you can press 0 to get that question to an operator. Many of you already have, and thank you for your questions. Your operator will take some notes on your question and then put you in the queue to ask your question live on the air. If you're not comfortable asking your question live, you can still submit a question by pressing 0, and then you can let your operator know if you want us to read your question instead of bringing you live, whatever's more comfortable for you. If you are participating via webcast tonight, you can submit questions using the comment question box at the bottom of your web control panel. Already seeing some questions there as well. And if you submitted a question via our web registration page when you signed up for this event, we will be taking some of those questions tonight as well. If you want to register to receive these calls from Metro about three times each year, you can visit budget.metro.net/TTH. Again, budget.metro.net/TTH for more information on the budget and to register for these forums with Metro. We also want to keep you updated in the future, so if you'd like to get occasional email updates from Metro, press 7 now or visit that registration page. Back to you, Jennifer.
Thank you, Ian. I want to remind everyone participating tonight that this is a public forum and it is being recorded. The recording will be made public, including to the news media. To our callers, please go ahead and get in the queue now. We'll be taking your questions and comments in just a few minutes. But first, I want to introduce two Metro senior executives to talk about our bus and rail service and cleanliness on the system. The first is Joe Forgerini, Senior Executive Officer of Service Development and Scheduling. Joe?
Thanks, Jennifer. Since December 2022, Metro restored full bus service levels with higher frequency for over 50 of Metro's bus lines. Metro continues to deliver these higher bus service levels throughout FY24. Through Metro's vision with the Next Gen Bus Plan initiative, the bus network has been reinvented to provide fast, frequent, and reliable service. This year, we have plans for rolling out more bus lanes on Florence Avenue in South LA and Roscoe and Sepulveda Boulevards in the San Fernando Valley. We continue to recruit Metro bus operators and have achieved full operator staffing levels to ensure full service is delivered reliably each day. Our cancellation rates have improved to less than 1%. The regional connector is a 1.9-mile light rail segment under downtown LA, which opened June 16th. It includes three new stations at Little Tokyo Arts District, Historic Broadway, and Grand Avenue Arts Bunker Hill. It allows A and E line light rail riders to travel through downtown LA without having to change trains. Metro has also been working to increase peak and off-peak rail frequencies in FY24 as rail ridership continues to recover. Metro began implementation of these improvements on September 10th when 12-minute peak and off-peak service was implemented on the B and D subway lines, increasing from the previous 15-minute frequency. Next, we'll be increasing to an 8-minute peak weekday frequency on light rail lines. It's also planned to adopt a 10-minute off-peak weekday and weekend frequency on light rail lines, replacing the current 12 or 15-minute off-peak rail frequencies. These changes are planned to be implemented by the end of the year once additional new rail operators complete their training. In summary, Metro Operations has made some very big changes, and more are coming to the rail network as part of the Metro Rail Revolution. Let's not forget the D-Line subway extensions to La Cienega Boulevard, Century City, and Westwood, and the A-Line Pomona extension, all coming mid-decade. Now I'll toss to my colleague, Errol Taylor, Metro's Deputy Chief Operations Officer for Maintenance and Engineering, to talk about Metro's cleaning initiatives. Errol?
Thank you, Joe. It's my pleasure to provide an update on our scheduled cleanliness activities. We continue to clean rail and busway stations a minimum of twice daily. Most of the B and D line stations have dedicated cleaning staff who are present to keep those stations clean. We also perform pressure washing once, twice, or three times per week at selected stations. The floor scrubbing machine is used daily at most underground stations on the B and D lines, and at least three times per week at other underground stations. Graffiti is removed within 48 hours. The emergency exit corridors at the B and D line stations are also cleaned at least once every 2 weeks. We also clean the tracks at the subway and light rail stations roughly every 2 weeks or when necessary. trains and buses are cleaned daily at the rail and bus divisions. Also, end-of-line cleaning on trains is performed 7 a.m. through 8 p.m. And usually that involves trash removal, sweeping, and cleaning up spills. Midday cleaning on buses is performed at bus terminals. Usually trash removal, sweeping, cleaning up spills, removing graffiti, and wiping down interior surfaces. And it should be noted that all buses, light rail cars, and subway cars now have vinyl seats. Thank you again for taking the time to be here with us this evening. Back to you, Jennifer.
Thank you for those updates, Errol and Joe. Now let's hear from you, our callers. We'll take our first questions and comments in this live forum tonight. Ian, do you have our first question?
Yes, I sure do. Thank you so much and appreciate everybody who's joined. We've got some great questions lined up. We're going to go to our first one from the phones. It's going to come from Carmina, then Mark, then we've got Susan, a web registrant, and plenty more behind that. Let's bring Carmina live here and get her question. Carmina, thanks for joining. What's your question for our forum tonight?
Hi, I live in Highland Park in LA City, and I ride the A and the B lines and work with several people that are mainly bus riders along Vermont, as well as the east side that ride the 30, the 251, and the 605. My question is, how much is Metro committing to improving headways in equity priority communities?
Thanks for the question, Carmina, and we'll go to Conan Chung, our Chief Operations Officer, for the answer to this one.
Hi, Carmina. Thank you very much for the question. In fact, everything we do here in LA Metro follows our equity framework. And as Joe mentioned, we did complete a next-gen bus study back in October of 2020. That was the biggest bus network redesign we've done throughout the agency. During that time when we planned the service, there was a lot of focus on equity-focused communities. And in fact, if you look at the headways now, we doubled the amount of riders that have access to all-day, everyday frequent service throughout the network. In addition to that, Joe mentioned that we are going to be increasing rail service frequencies, most notably on the A and the E lines. So please look forward to those enhancements coming to you in December. Thank you.
Much appreciated. Thank you so much, Conan. Thank you, Carmina, for the question. And we'll go to our next one right away from Mark. A quick reminder before we take Mark's question, if you want to sign up for email updates from Metro, you can do that by pressing 7 on your phone. Hey, Mark, welcome. What's your question?
Hi. There's a lot of research on how people choose transit, and it's all built into the modeling tools that you guys have access to, and I don't see that they're being used properly. And specifically, I think you need some kind of committee or something that looks at long-range and system planning, because that's really how the federal government funds stuff. And a lot of the funding that's been missed over the past decades has been because the tool is not used properly and there's not really effective long-range or system planning. And I heard that straight from Federal Highway Administration, and I even provided you with a letter from Senator Feinstein's office from the FTA, where they explained specifically why you were not getting matching funding for the Expo line, and I see the same problem is occurring with new projects.
Okay, thank you so much. Great question, Mark. I think this is going to be a good one for Ray Soza, our Deputy Chief Planning Officer. Ray, can you take this one from Mark, please?
Thanks, Mark. Great question. Lots of detail there. I can tell you that we do have our 2020 long-range transportation plan, where we did do the modeling that you're describing, consistent with SCAG and FTA and a number of regulatory agencies. And the plan does provide a detailed roadmap for how Metro will plan, build, operate, maintain, and partner for improved mobility in the next 30 years. The long-range transportation plan will guide future funding plans and policies needed to move LA forward for a more mobile, resilient, accessible, and sustainable future. progress on the projects in that plan are also provided to the Metro Planning Committee on a regular basis so that we can try to deliver on time and on schedule and continue to provide for the needs of the county. Thank you.
Appreciate that, Ray. Thanks for the question from Mark. We're going to go to our next one. This came from one of our web registrants, and a reminder to those of you who have not registered for these forums. If you'd like to register for these forums in the future, you can go to budget.metro.net/TTH. Let's go to Susan next. Susan says, LA is finally almost ready to open our full railed airport system, but on the heels of a tragic downward security spiral during and post-pandemic. I'm concerned that if we are not realistic about the additional security or additional risk posed to tourists and native Angelenos laden with luggage and business-related tech passing through some of the worst crime-prone areas of the city, this long-awaited amenity will fail. That would be awful. I personally want to be able to use the new system without fear and recommend it to friends without reservation. How is Metro working proactively to make the K Line Expo Line airport to downtown route truly a safe one for travelers and daily users as well? Let's go to Gina Osborne, Metro's Chief Safety Officer, for the answer to this one from Susan.
Thank you, Ian, and thank you, Susan, for your question. The LAX Metro Transit Center is going to provide access to the airport through the People Mover, and we recognize that this is going to be a vital project for the entire region. So I can tell you we are taking security at this station very seriously. We have already had meetings with the LA World Airport Police Chief and his folks, as well as LAPD and LASD, who are our contract security people, and we are planning later this month for another meeting so that we can determine what resources we are going to need to keep that station safe, as well as making sure that the people who are traveling through that station are going to be safe getting to the airport. So I just want you to know that we are taking it very seriously, and by the time it opens, we will have, or even before it opens, we will have a plan in place to make sure that everyone traveling through there will be safe. Thanks, Susan.
All right. Thank you again. Appreciate that answer, Gina. And we'll go to our next one. I believe it's going to go to Jewel Forgerini, who's going to take this one from one of our web registrants. The question is, will Metro continue and expand the Metro Micro program? And that comes from Judith, a web registrant.
Great. Thank you to Judith for that question. And again, the Metro Board recently extended our Metro Micro pilot rideshare program for another 12-month period to take us through to the end of September of 2024. As you may be aware, we have 8 Metro Micro rideshare zones located across various areas throughout our LA County region. Again, this was a 3-year pilot program designed to test this Metro Micro concept in various different use cases. So again, the next number of months looking forward through this year into next will be devoted to Metro staff doing further analysis and development of recommendations to take this program forward for the board to consider how to shape its future. So look out for much more information coming into next year as we make our final evaluation of the pilot and develop recommendations regarding the future of the program.
Thank you, Joe, and thank you all for your questions. We'll take more questions in a few minutes. Now let's hear from 3 more Metro senior leaders. First up is Gina Osborne, Metro's Chief Safety Officer. Gina?
Thanks, Jennifer. Last time we spoke, I shared several initiatives that we're launching, such as the Drug-Free campaign. Today, I want to highlight the accomplishments of those efforts and new initiatives we've recently launched based on lessons learned and feedback from our riders and our employees. In July, we concluded our drug-free campaign on the B and D, which are the red and the purple lines, and also the red and purple line supplemental deployment. The drug-free campaign focused on removing individuals arrested for committing crimes on the system, with a particular focus on drug crimes and significantly decreasing drug sales, usage, and overdoses on trains, platforms, and in the stations. I'm happy to share that the campaign resulted in 552 citations and 437 warnings issued by Metro Transit security officers, 336 drug-related arrests reports by law enforcement, 95 complaints received by the customer call center, and 3,258 TransitWatch submissions on drug issues. As for the supplemental deployment, this effort focused on placing additional law enforcement resources on the B&D line, as that is the line with the highest volume of crime. The campaign resulted in 628 citations, 2,005 warnings, 425 arrests, and 17,731 ejections. Law enforcement homeless outreach teams reached out to 1,650 individuals, of which 680 accepted services. Through these efforts, we assessed what worked and what can be improved when developing and launching our new multi-layered plan deployment on July 10th. This new deployment has had an impact across the entire rail system, including end-of-line stations and midpoint or focus stations, decreasing the number of non-destination travelers that are required to leave the rail system at the end of the night when the system closes. On the bus side, you may remember that the board approved 44 transit security officer positions for dedicated bus riding teams. We've been hard at work in filling as many of these positions as possible. As of today, we have 7 transit security officer bus riding teams, and they are working over all 3 shifts, and we're hoping to fill the rest of those positions by the end of this year. We believe these efforts are making a difference in helping increase ridership and decrease crime. Crime on the system decreased 54% by the end of July when compared with April of 2023, the month which recorded the highest number of crimes year to date for 2023, 331 versus 720. We know we still have a lot more work to do to build your trust and make Metro your first choice, but we are making progress. I am happy to take your questions and respond to your comments. Back to you, Jennifer.
Thank you, Gina. Again, callers, if you have questions about what Gina just said, press 0 on your phone and get in the queue to make your comment. And remember, this is a public forum, and it is being recorded and will be made public. Now, I'd like to welcome our next speaker, Craig Joyce, who is the Deputy Executive Officer for Homeless Initiatives, to discuss Metro's response to people experiencing homelessness sheltering on the Metro system. Craig?
Thank you, Jennifer. Los Angeles continues to experience a homelessness crisis, with recent reports of more than 75,000 on any given night throughout the county. Due to our footprint, Metro experiences a microcosm of this crisis within the system. With the number of people experiencing homelessness in the county exceeding the number of available housing resources, we continue to observe unhoused riders seeking shelter on the Metro system. While transit vehicles and stations are not designed to be used for shelter, people with no other options view the system as a refuge from the cold weather during the winter and from the heat in the summer. We have heard from our customers through various channels, surveys, social media comments, calls to our call centers, and community meetings that homelessness is a top priority area to improve their experience on Metro. Although Metro's primary role is that of a transit agency, we continue our commitment to help Los Angeles address the crisis head on. We partner with the county to bring homeless outreach multidisciplinary teams onto the transit system. This year, we've drastically increased the number of outreach teams to ensure coverage across all rail lines and busways. Metro's multidisciplinary teams work 7 days a week, and some shifts align to provide 24-hour coverage. They enroll people into the Homeless Management and Information System, otherwise known as HMIS, which provides access to crisis housing, interim shelter, family reunifications, hygiene kits, meals, clothing, medical treatments, addiction assistance, and mental health support. Our experienced partners bring valuable resources to individuals sheltering on the system, most importantly, access to housing resources. Last year, the outreach teams placed more than 580 people experiencing homelessness into housing. This year, we have a goal of 900 housing placements. We're also more closely coordinating with LASA, the Los Angeles Homeless Services Authority, the city, and the county to bring even more resources to Metro's public spaces. For example, the Department of Health Service Mobile Medical Clinic is on site at the Westlake MacArthur Park Station twice a month. We also have a goal to be included in the 2024 point in time count, which will include people sheltering on Metro for the first time and should result in increased homeless resources to the community. We know that change will not happen overnight, and we know that every single person who chooses Metro should have a dignified experience when on their trip. We're helping the city and county address the homeless crisis by adding to the supply of affordable and permanent supportive housing through our joint development goal of creating 10,000 new housing units. This is all not a problem that Metro is equipped to solve on our own, and the ongoing regional collaboration to bring solutions will be the only way that we can swiftly respond. Within the framework of our reimagined public safety vision, we continue to take a compassionate, person-centered approach to those experiencing homelessness, and we are also deploying strategies that focus on making the transit system a safer place to travel. This concludes my update today. Thank you. Jennifer?
Thank you, Craig. Now we're joined by Vanessa Smith, Metro's Executive Officer of Customer Care, and Karen Parks, who is Senior Director of Special Projects, with an update on Metro's Ambassador Program. Vanessa?
Thank you, Jennifer. Ambassadors improve the riding experience for Metro customers, improve perceptions of safety, and improve customer experience. Ambassadors provide a welcoming and visible presence, build relationships with Metro riders and Metro employees, and offer in-person support to riders geared towards improving the everyday interactions with Metro's transit customer experience. Ambassadors support riders and employees, connect riders to resources, and report incidents of cleanliness and safety. They are one part of our multi-layer plan to improve public safety, which includes additional elements to improve security, cleanliness, and the customer experience. Other layers of our public safety plan include transit security officers to enforce the code of conduct, law enforcement to respond to crimes, contract security to patrol and secure facilities, homeless outreach to connect riders to services, and crisis response teams to respond to mental health crisis incidents. To date, ambassadors have conducted over 500,000 customer interactions. I'll now turn it over to Karen Parks, who will share more about information on ambassador current deployment and hours.
Thank you, Vanessa. Currently, we have Metro ambassadors deployed to the following rail lines: the A line, B line, C line, D line, E, and K lines, and bus lines 20, 720, 40, Line 210, and the J line, the silver line. Metro ambassadors provide service to our riders 7 days a week, Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. to 10 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday, 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. We believe the Metro ambassadors are making a difference. Metro ambassadors will continue to support our customers and employees as our extra eyes and ears on our bus and rail systems. Back to you, Jennifer.
Thank you, Vanessa and Karen. Now let's take a few more questions and comments from our listeners. Ian, who has our first question for comment?
All right. Let's get our next question up here. This one is going to come from our Spanish simulcast broadcast, so thanks to those of you who are listening in Spanish today. The question comes from Margarita, who's asking, there are many homeless people and drug users that make it dangerous to use the Metro services. Gina, our Chief Safety Officer, can you take this one on for Margarita?
Thank you, Ian. Hi, Margarita. Yes, I would like to address your question. So with our planned deployment that I talked about earlier that started on July 10th, what we are intending to do and what we are doing is breaking the pattern of people coming onto the system to do things that are other than taking transit, and that includes committing crime or just having no destination and being on our system. So essentially what this planned deployment is doing is we're making sure that again, the people who are on our system are there for the purpose of transportation. At the end of the lines, that's when the fare runs out, and people need to get off. If they want to get back onto the train, they're going to have to tap. And in the middle of the line, we're having police officers with our transit security officers riding the trains and enforcing our code of conduct. When someone is removed from the system for either not having fair or a code of conduct violation, we have our homeless outreach teams that are nearby so that they can be offering services to these folks. And we also have our ambassadors who are peppered throughout our system, and they're there to answer any questions that customers have, and they're there to really increase that perception of safety. So we are working very hard, Margarita, to ensure that our customers, our riders are safe, our employees are safe on our system, and our planned deployment has been successful, and we're going to continue to do that and find other ways in order to keep everyone safe.
Thanks again, Gina, and thank you to Margarita and the rest of our Spanish simulcast participants tonight. We're going to go to our next question. This one was submitted by one of our web registrants who's listening on the call tonight. Betty has this one. Why can't ambassadors ride inside the train? They don't have to confront the problem person if they are dangerous, but they have the radio to call in for help. Can we go to Vanessa Smith or Karen Parks for the answer to this one from Betty?
Yes. Thank you for your question, Betty. Ambassadors actually are on trains and vehicles where our customers need them most. They're visible on inside the train cars, again, on our buses, and they actually have and use their devices, their phones as equipment to call or to report incidents of safety or maintenance. I hope that answers your question. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much. Appreciate the answer to that one. We're going to go to our next question, and I believe we've got this one live on the line with us, coming to us from John in Pasadena. Hey, John, welcome to the call. What's your question?
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I'm a rider up in Pasadena, often taking the A line, and I noticed there's transit signal priority in Pasadena as well as the Highland Park neighborhood of L.A., but there's a huge delay and has been for years with no transit signal priority for rail outside of those neighborhoods in those areas. And I'm wondering, what's the plan to get that transit equity for the rest of the LA Metro users?
Perfect. Thank you, John. Let's go to Conan Chung, our Chief Operations Officer, for this one.
Hi, John. Thank you so much for that question. As you did mention, we are actively working on speed and reliability on our entire transit network, including bus and rail. In terms of bus, as you heard our CEO mention earlier, we have been actively building bus lanes, including up to 52 lane miles of bus lanes over the last couple of years. We're also actively working on transit signal priority, which I think is the key to your question there, both on bus and rail. We're working in conjunction with all the local jurisdictions, looking at all the different strategies that we can employ to improve speed and reliability throughout our system. And this is going to be extremely important as we continue our planning processes towards the large-scale special events that we're going to be hosting with the 2026 FIFA World Cup and the 2028 Olympics and Paralympic Games. So more to come on that. Thank you.
All right. Perfect. Thank you again. Appreciate that answer. And we're going to go back to Joe for this one, I think. I believe we have Nate live here with his next question. Nate in Sherman Oaks, welcome to our call. Go ahead.
Problem with the frequency of buses in the San Fernando Valley and also other areas. For example, most of our local buses run on a schedule of once an hour, which is almost very, very difficult for us, especially if there is a cancellation of one of those once-an-hour buses. As a matter of fact, there was a cancellation last week. Lines 158, 167, 155, that go through very dense neighborhoods that often connect to the Orange Line, and it leaves the riders confused. In other words, there's a sign that their bus is coming, but oftentimes the wait, especially if there's a cancellation, is over an hour. And it's a hardship on the elderly, it's a hardship on the disabled, and one of the reasons why we voted overwhelmingly in the Valley for measures, both measures M and R, was to improve the service, the local service, which was promised in those propositions, in those measures. Also, next generation, we were looking at that to improve the service. Again, it hasn't improved. So here's an area, San Fernando Valley region, over 2 million people, where the majority of buses run once an hour, and it really isn't rapid transit. It's basic transit, and it compares very poorly with other areas like the city of Ventura, the city of San Luis Obispo. And every time I bring it up at a service council, I'm told, well, we can't improve the frequency because that means we have to take the frequency from other buses. Now, I admit Metro has improved the service on some of the lines, like the Ventura Boulevard line, but most people don't live near Ventura Boulevard. They don't live near Wilshire Boulevard. It's a highly dense area, and I don't think once an hour is sufficient to serve the needs of people who are paying taxes for better transit. Thank you.
Very much appreciate your question. Thank you to Nate. We're going to go to Joe Fiorgerini, our Senior Executive Officer of Service Development Scheduling, for this one.
Great. Thank you, Nate, for your observations and questions. With regard to bus frequencies throughout our region, we do have in our next-gen bus plan a structure of different levels of service depending on the corridors involved, looking at their historic performance and ridership trends, but also looking at the development patterns that surround these corridors. So based on that, in our next-gen plan, we did establish various frequency tiers. As you mentioned, some of the corridors, such as Ventura and Reseda in the valley, do see every 10-minute service as some of our highest levels of service. Similarly, on our Orange Line, bus rapid transit through the valley. Many of our east-west corridors on the valley now have been upgraded in the next-gen bus plan to every 15 minutes throughout the day, not just in peak periods. So again, we continue to monitor the ridership that we see on these lines and make adjustments in response to the higher ridership. We have future plans even for some of our corridors, such as Roscoe and Nordhoff, to even bring those up to higher frequency every 10 minutes. So again, you do present that challenge for us regarding hourly bus service, and happy to take your concerns and see if we can find a path to improving some of those less frequent lines. And of course, our apology to any rider who may have experienced the impact of a bus service cancellation. We are now fully staffed with operators, and we do everything we can to avoid those cancellations occurring on our less frequent lines. We give those a priority. So again, thank you, Nate, for your feedback and your challenge for us to improve those hourly lines.
Thank you, Joe. And thank you, everyone, for your questions. Now, quick reminder that this is a live public forum and it is being recorded. The recording will be made public, including to the media. Now, I'd like to shift gears and talk about the future of Metro. This includes the ongoing construction, planning, and expansion of the Metro system. To begin, I'd like to introduce Brad Owen to give us some construction project updates. Brad?
Thank you. Good evening. My name is Brad Owen. I'm a senior executive officer within Metro's program management department. First, I'd like to start by thanking everyone for their participation in the program this evening. The program management department here at Metro leads the delivery of the largest transportation infrastructure program in the nation with a $26 billion portfolio of 75 active projects. We recently celebrated the completion of the Regional Connector Project, which opened in June, and we continue construction of the Purple Line Extension Sections 1, 2, and 3, which will be completed by the Olympics. We're also continuing work on the Airport Metro Connector, which will open in 2024, and we are working on the East San Fernando Valley Light Rail Project, with advanced utility work ongoing and major design efforts underway. Upcoming programs include the NoHo to Pasadena Bus Rapid Transit Project, and we're also starting an extensive overhaul of our existing bus facilities as we convert our bus fleet to zero-emission electric buses. Again, thank you all for being here with us tonight. Back to you, Jennifer.
Thank you for that update, Brad. Now I'd like to welcome our next speaker, Ray Sosa. He is the Deputy Chief Planning Officer. Good evening, Ray.
Good evening, Jennifer. Hi, everyone. We in the Metro Countywide Planning and Development Department continue to take a multimodal approach to solving mobility issues for Los Angeles County, developing projects and programs, securing funding, and planning for a more sustainable and equity-focused region. We continue to finalize environmental documents for the Eastside Transit Corridor Phase 2 and West Santa Ana Branch projects, including completing a project renaming effort on the project soon to be formally named the West Santa Ana Branch. On the Sepulveda Transit Corridor, we have an in-person public meeting on October 24th at 5:30 p.m., where we will be presenting new information focused on travel times and boardings.
We will also have other information on two other studies and projects related to that corridor, the traffic reduction study and the I-405 Sepulveda Pass Express Lanes projects. Please visit our website for time and locations. Recently, our board also took action to support Metrolink on the Antelope Valley Line by providing funds to increase late night and weekend service. And this month, we plan to get board approval on making the Adopt a Bike program permanent. This program has been a pilot program providing mini grants to selected community-based organizations to distribute bicycles to constituents. Metro collects 300 to 400 bicycles a month that are left behind on the Metro system. Up to 75% are never claimed by owners. During the pilot, Metro was able to place over 3,000 bicycles into the hands of LA County constituents who previously had limited mobility options to access work, school, or services. Back to you, Jennifer.
Thank you, Ray. To our callers, if you have questions or comments, please press 0 on your phone to join the queue. Let's take some more questions. Ian, who is our first one?
All right, great. Thank you again. And we're going to go to our next question, a really good one from Carl. And I'll just read this. There's a lot to it. We want to take as many questions as we can in the time we have left. He says, the Little Tokyo Metro Station has contributed to business growth within Little Tokyo. Thank you. It was a nearly instant transformation of that area. What about other surrounding communities in SoCal? Will we be able to have a plan to create connectivity with other small communities to have vibrant central areas in their communities to help them thrive as well? And we just heard from Ray. Let's go back to Ray Soza, our Deputy Chief Planning Officer, with this one.
Thank you for that great question. Well, it all begins with the planning process early on where we, when studying projects like these, identify key activity centers, major centers, where services are provided and people want to go. As we go through that process, we also, once the project is approved, develop first-last mile plans, which focuses on providing connectivity to the local communities around those stations. We've developed first-last mile plans for the Purple Line and East San Fernando Valley Light Rail project, as well as are starting developing the first-last mile plans for the West Santa Ana branch. Thanks for the great question.
Thank you again for the great answer. Appreciate you, Ray. All right, we're going to go to a series of questions that I think we're going to take from Salita Reynolds on hiring. So I'm going to read a few questions here and then ask Salita to take them all on. We've got one from Chandra who says, are you still hiring? We've got one from Daryl who says, when are you hiring for janitorial? And then one from Nakia asking, how can I get a job with you guys? Let's take this one to Salita Reynolds. Salita, can you take these on for some folks out there who are looking for a job?
Yes. Hopefully you can hear me clearly.
Yep, hearing you well.
Great. So, yes, absolutely. Metro is excited to be in hiring mode. We have been hiring transit operators at lightning speed for the last few years, and we are certainly interested, keenly interested in being the employer of choice for folks who are interested in working in transportation in LA County and in the United States. So the best way to find out what kind of jobs we have available and to apply for those jobs is just to go right to metro.net, about us, and careers. And that's the landing page where you can view all of our open positions and you can apply for those positions through our website. That's really the quickest and easiest way to get a job at Metro. But yes, we are always in hiring mode because we are always in expanding mode. And that's across the board. We currently have openings for almost any kind of job you could imagine in transportation from, you know, sitting at a desk and working as an accountant to being out in the field as a transit operator or keeping our stations clean for our riders.
Great answer. Thank you so much. Appreciate you being with us, Salita, and thank you for the question that came from Chandra, Daryl, and Nakia. We're going to go to another question next here from Pablo in Chinatown, listening in our Spanish simulcast broadcast. He says, I have a comment about security in Long Beach. I took the green train, and there isn't sufficient lighting in the buses or restrooms. It's dark and not safe. Also, the buttons for getting on and off the bus are not illuminated. I also never received the 90-day free days with the program, even though I applied 3 weeks ago. Additionally, he had a bad experience where the police were called but never came. Who can take this one on for Pablo, coming from Chinatown and our Spanish simulcast broadcast?
Hi, Ian. I'll start that. I'm Conan Chung, Chief Operations Officer. Thank you, Pablo, for your question. As far as your question related to the lighting, on the trains and on the buses, we are speccing new trains and buses right now. We'll make sure that we improve the lighting through that. We're also piloting new lights on the trains. They're going to be LED lights, which are going to be brighter, and that will coincide with our lighting program for our stations as well. So we're going through the stations first with Westlake MacArthur Park, and then next throughout the rest of the B and the D lines, and then on to the other light rail stations. So more to come on improving lighting and the sense of safety and security within our system. Now I'll turn it over to Gina Osborne, our Chief of System Safety Law Enforcement, to address the second half of your question.
Hi, Pablo. So I am sorry to hear that you had the bad experience about on the train. If I could get more information on that, I am happy to look into it to determine why it is that the police did not arrive. One thing that I want to make clear to everyone is if you see something, say something, and I need your help in order to make our system safe. So if you can download the Metro Transit Watch app and tell us what you see, we have security control officers on hand 24/7 that can respond to your concerns. You can speak to them through the app. You can text them. You can email them as well. Also, if you have an emergency such as the one that Pablo had, you know, call 911 directly, and or if you have an emergency, you can also push the call button inside the train in order to get a hold of the operator to get you help as well. So, Pablo, if you can get us that information, I will definitely look into it, and again, I'm sorry that happened to you. Ian?
Yeah, and Gina, here's what I'm going to do. We've got Pablo's information. I've gone ahead and tagged him for follow-up, and we'll get that to you first thing in the morning so that you can follow up with him. So, Pablo, thank you for being a part of our forum and notifying us of that, and we'll have somebody follow up with you. Thank you again so much. We're going to go to our next question from Maria in South Pasadena, and I think Maria is okay to go live here. Let's bring her up. Hey, Maria, welcome to the call. What's your question?
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I commute on the, what was known as the Gold Line train, and on the Red Line train into East Hollywood for work. I commute 3 days a week, and I have had a few scary encounters with men on the train who seem to be homeless or who seem to be having mental health issues or drug issues. I'm not sure. I do take precaution. I've been riding the Metro train for over 10 years now. And so I know not to make eye contact. I know to go to a car with people. Hopefully if anything happens, you know, they would render aid, but it's been scary. With, you know, these people and also just, you know, the drugs that you see that they take, you know, so what is being done to address these issues? I really wish, like, security would ride the trains. I mean, I see them on the platform. But they need to be also riding the actual trains back and forth. I think that would be helpful.
Yeah, thank you, Maria. Really appreciate your question and raising this issue. Let's go to Gina for the answer to this one.
Hi, Maria. I thank you for your insight,
yep.
And I would definitely want you to have a better experience and not have to encounter these issues. So we did do a couple of campaigns on the Red Line earlier this year, and one was starting in February, and it really focused on drug usage on the system. We continue to be very aggressive when it comes to the drug usage on the system. We want everyone to have a good customer experience, and we know that definitely gets in the way of that. And I will definitely take into consideration your input with regard to putting more officers and more transit security officers on the train. In this multi-layered plan deployment that we're having now, we do have more riding the train, but we will definitely look at the Red Line and make sure that we are disrupting that pattern of criminal activity by putting additional officers on the train. So thank you for your comments and your insight. Ian?
Thank you again, Gina, and thank you so much for that last question from Maria. We are just about out of time, but we wanted to get one more question in here. It's one that one of our web registrants submitted. This is from Thanos, who's asking, can the Metro ambassadors ride the trains and inspect customers' behavior, cleanliness, and other issues and provide a report for further action if necessary? That's from Thanos, and can we go to Karen Parks for this one?
Thank you so much for that question. Metro ambassadors are part of the multi-layered ecosystem along with Metro Transit Security, law enforcement personnel, contract security, and homeless outreach. Metro ambassadors do not enforce the code of conduct. However, Metro ambassadors are strategically deployed across Metro bus and rail focused on the customer experience. Metro ambassadors serve as extra eyes and ears and report incidents of safety and cleanliness. Thank you so much for the question.
Thank you. Thank you all for your calls. Thank you all for your questions. Now we have one more speaker, Tim Mengel. He works in Metro's Office of Management and Budget. Tim?
Thank you, Jennifer. We at Metro recognize that our mission is mobility. We know that in an area the size of LA County, mass transit in the form of buses, trains, and automobiles is critical. Metro's annual budget is one of the tools used to manage and direct our programs and activities. It's a one-year financial roadmap that is rooted in equity and openness. Through it, we seek to recognize and balance all our mobility investments across the region. In the past year, that's included continuing funding improvements at the city local level and funding our municipal partners. Additionally, we have funded many initiatives to improve the safety and security of our system's service and quality. So that's why we were here tonight, for staff to hear your priorities directly from you, our customers. So I want to thank you all for joining and sharing your thoughts tonight. Your priorities are the cornerstones of the decision-making process that will help us create Metro's FY25 budget. Back to you, Jennifer.
Thank you, Tim. I think we have a time for a few more questions.
You know, we have time for one. We don't have time for any more. We are got about 60 seconds left. If you have anything else you'd like to offer.
Okay. So, with that final comment, then we are at the end of our live telephone town hall. I think we've had a constructive dialogue this evening. Thank you to all our callers and to our Metro staff who responded to questions and comments. And thanks to our entire team in the Office of Management and Budget at Metro. The work they do is incredibly important. Once again, to everyone who joined us tonight, thank you for spending an hour with us to talk about some important topics. I apologize that we didn't get to every question or comment tonight. You can still leave us a message at the end of the call just by staying on the line as we wrap up. If you need someone from Metro to reach back out to you, be sure to leave your name, phone number, and what you need help with. Comments we receive will help us as we work to improve how we serve the community. On behalf of Metro, thank you again for taking part of this event. Good night.
One more thing, folks, if you'd like to sign up for future Metro telephone town halls like this one, you can go to budget.metro.net/TTH. Again, budget.metro.net/TTH. Thanks again. Have a great night.